Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Recently, we had a series on Christian parenting, or the biblical rearing of our children. We covered a number of different aspects of the subject from both the Old and the New Testaments. And our main text was perhaps Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where Paul writes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And there Paul summarized the duty of Christian parents under those two broad headings of discipline and instruction. And we saw that both of them are necessary. Both of them must be part of the training of our children, not one without the other, but both together, discipline and instruction. And then under the discipline of the child, we found that the book of Proverbs often speaks of the use of the rod of discipline. We read here in Proverbs 22 and verse 15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him." The first half of the verse tells us of the native sinfulness, the depravity of our children, foolishness, speaking of sinfulness, their departure, their rebellion from God and His ways. It is bound up in their hearts. The second half of the verse gives us one of the means that God uses to correct them and to deliver them from it, the use of the rod. This evening, I give what I might call an appendix to the series on Christian parenting, another installment. And what I want to do tonight is to direct our thoughts to the heart of the problem, and I mean literally, to the heart of our children, the source of their sinfulness. Verse 15 here directs us to the very source of the sinfulness of our children, which is their hearts. Foolishness, sinfulness, Solomon says, is bound up in the heart. The heart is the center of our personality. It is the center, the core of our moral and our spiritual life. It is our consciousness, our minds, our wills, our affections, all of them flow out of the heart. And in the Bible, all of our thoughts, our intentions, the motives, all of that arises out of the heart. All knowledge of God and of ourselves, all of it comes and is from the heart. And Solomon tells us here that this is where the sinful behavior of our children finds its source. This is where it comes from their hearts. Our children are all born into this world, and their hearts are not neutral. Their hearts are not waiting to be directed in one way or another. Their hearts are already fixed and settled in the wrong direction. They have a sinful nature, a sinful heart within them. And Solomon tells us here that their sinfulness is not just in their hearts. He tells us that it is bound up in their hearts. It is part of the very fabric of their being. It is ingrained in the very depths of their souls. It is in them from birth. And the point is that all of their outward sinfulness, their wrong behavior, their bad speech that comes from our children, all of it comes from within them, from their hearts. And that's what Solomon is directing us to, the source of our children's outward sinfulness. Their outward sinfulness in their word and their behavior and in their lives, all of it comes from within the child. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And we want to see this same principle, the source of their sinfulness from the heart, found in the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. In verse 20 through 23. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Now, Jesus goes through this long list of sins in these verses. Some of these involve words that are spoken. Some involve thoughts and attitudes, actions and behavior. And I mention as a little aside that all of these things can be traced back in one way or another to the Ten Commandments. We've been studying the law of God in the evenings recently. All the violations here can be traced back in one way or another to the violations of the law of God. Jesus has in his mind, as he speaks these words, his Father's law. And very often when we come to these long lists of sins in the New Testament, such as the end of Romans chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Titus chapter 3, other places in the New Testament, we find these long lists of sins. All of them can be traced back often to the Ten Commandments. And it is a clear implication from those lists that the Ten Commandments still apply to men and women in the New Testament time. But Jesus here, he shows us the root and he shows us the source of where all sin comes from. It comes from the heart. Verse 20. He says, that which proceeds out of the man. From the heart, he means out of the man. That defiles the man. Verse 21, he says, For from within, out of the heart. And then he goes on through that long list of sins, and he says again in verse 23, all these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So three times Jesus tells us in this short passage that the sins of men find their source and their beginning, their origin from within the heart. And all of this is true of our children as well. Their outward sins, in their behavior, in their words, all of it comes from within, from their hearts. We'll turn to another passage in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 22, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. And the man was blind and he was dumb. And after the healing, the man begins to speak and he begins to see. The multitudes are amazed, but the Pharisees speak against Jesus in verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. They accused Jesus of being an agent of the devil, Beelzebul, and using the devil's power to cast out the demons. And then verse 25 begins, and knowing their thoughts, he said to them, Jesus knows what was in their thoughts, what was in their hearts, and he begins to reprove them for what they said. And then we read down in verse 33 through 35. Jesus says to the Pharisees, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. Jesus here speaks in different metaphors to say the same thing in different ways. And the basic idea is that one's words and one's actions are an expression of what he really is in his heart. In verse 33, he says that men are like trees. And what kind of a man one is seen by the kind of fruit that he bears in his life and in his speech. And in verse 33, when he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, what he means is either consider the tree good and its fruit good, or consider the tree bad and its fruit bad. In other words, the kind of tree that it is, whether it is good or bad, is known by its fruits. And that's what he says at the end of verse 33. The tree is known by its fruits. The same is true with men and women. The same is true with boys and girls. What they really are, what is in their hearts, is seen by the fruit, by the things on the outside, by their actions, by their behavior, by their words. And then in verse 34, he speaks more directly to the Pharisees. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? How can you, Pharisees, who have such evil hearts, how can you speak what is good? How can you, who are bad trees, produce good fruit? Nothing else can be expected from men like them. With evil hearts, they must speak out of what fills their hearts. They must speak what is evil. And that's the statement he makes, the general principle at the end of verse 34. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The mouth speaks out of what fills the hearts. In other words, the words that we speak on our mouths are simply an expression of what already existed in the heart. Our words have their origin from our hearts. There's an undeniable connection between them. It's impossible for us to speak words that did not already exist in the heart. The mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. The mouth is simply the overflow of what's already in the heart. You know what it's like. Perhaps someone has said to you something that's hurtful to you. And then just after they say what was hurtful to you, they said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. The problem is they really did mean to say it, because they wouldn't have said it if it wasn't already in their hearts. You see, it was in their hearts and they simply said it. What they ought to say is, I'm sorry I said that to you, forgive me. It's not that they didn't mean it, they really did. There's an undeniable connection. The words that are on our mouth are simply the overflow of what is already in our hearts. And this is true of our children as well. All of their outward behavior and their words, their sinful behavior, their bad words, all of it comes from the heart. The heart is what controls all that they are. The heart controls the life. The heart determines the outward behavior and the speech. All of it comes from within, out of their hearts. So we see from the words of Proverbs, from the words of Jesus in these two passages, that the source of the sinful behavior of our children is always from their hearts. And the problem is, for us as parents, is that it is easy for us to fall into the trap of simply dealing only with their outward behavior in our discipline and in our instruction of them. Trying to deal with the wrong behavior that we see on the outside. Trying to deal with what they do that is wrong. Trying to make them act the way we want them and the way that they should act. But never dealing with the real underlying issue of what is taking place in their hearts. We need to deal with their outward behavior. We need to deal with their wrong actions, their sinful words. But we cannot be content with dealing just with the behavior without also addressing where the behavior comes from, where its source is in their hearts. The basic issue, the central concern in child rearing is not just the external behavior, yes, but not just the external behavior, but the heart of the child. There is something much deeper going on with our children when they sin than just what's on the outside. There is something much more profound taking place in them, and it is the sin that is already in their hearts. Let's think for a moment of Jesus' analogy here in verse 33, where he compares men with trees. And as he says at the end of verse 33, the tree is known by its fruit. The man or the boy or the girl is known by its fruit. In other words, you look at the fruit, you know what kind of person he or she is. If you have a good tree, you will produce good fruit. If you have a bad tree, you are going to produce bad fruit. Now let's say that in your backyard you have an apple tree. And your apple tree, it has a bad root system underneath the ground. Down underneath that ground, all of those roots, they are rotten, they are decayed. And they cannot absorb the moisture up into the tree. And so year after year, your apple tree produces these tiny little sour apples. And every year you hope, perhaps this year, we'll see some better apples. We'll see some good apples on the tree. But year after year, it's the same old thing. You go out, you see the fruit on the apple tree, and it's these tiny little green sour apples. So you're tired of it. So you go down to the store and you buy some nice big red delicious apples. And you come back to the apple tree and you cut off the sour little green apples and you staple on the big, juicy, delicious red apples because you want good fruit on that apple tree. What's going to happen? In just a little while, all those apples are going to rot, they're going to fall to the ground, and next year you're going to have the same sour apples on the tree because you never dealt with the problem of the root system underneath the ground. You never went and corrected the source, the real source of the problem, which is in the roots of the tree. The same thing happens when we correct only the outward behavior of our children. And we never address the underlying source of the problem. We never get to the real issues, the things that are in their hearts. Out of the heart, from within, all of their sin finds its source. The mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. And this really was the problem with the Pharisees in the days of Jesus, wasn't it? Their entire religion was outward, and it was external. It never dealt with their hearts. Jesus called them whitewashed sepulchres. He said the outside was beautiful, but inside it was dead men's bones and all uncleanness. He said they clean the outside of the cup while the inside is still unclean. And it is possible for Christian parents to be diligent and to be careful in their disciplining of their children, in disciplining the behavior of their children. But if they focus entirely on the external actions only, and never address the underlying issues of the heart, they bring up little Pharisees who know how to act good on the outside when they need to. And sometimes, many times, just when they need to avoid trouble with their parents and others. But underneath it all, their hearts are remained unchanged, and their hearts are still as sinful as they've ever been, and worse. Our children need their sinful behavior corrected. They need it to be disciplined in God's way by the use of the rod, but they need the source of their problem in their hearts to be dealt with as well. So the question is now, how do we deal with the underlying problem of their hearts? How do we get to the root system and to the real problem? How do we deal with their hearts? What we need to do is we need, when our children sin in the external, in their behavior, in their words, we need to come to our children and we need to ask them questions and we need to help them to see and understand that their outward behavior and words really does come from within and from their hearts. For example, let's say your son, Johnny, he's playing with a toy. Tommy, his older brother, comes along and takes away the toy. He's bigger than Johnny. But Johnny becomes mad. Johnny hits Tommy. A fight breaks out. Both end up screaming and yelling and hitting at one another. What do you do? Both of them are wrong. Both of them need discipline and a spanking. But if that's all that you do, then you have not completed the work. You need to deal with their hearts. You need to ask them questions and make them think about what happened on that occasion. You need to ask Tommy, when he came and took the toy from his brother, Tommy, why did you come and take this toy from your brother? What was in your heart? What were you thinking? And why did you take that toy? And Tommy might not be able to answer the question the first time, so you help him out and you answer it for him. And you explain to Tommy that what was going on is because Tommy is a selfish man, a selfish boy. He has a selfish heart. And he cared only for what he wanted and not for anyone else and their happiness, but he cared only for his own happiness. And that's why he came and took the toy from his brother. It's the selfish heart which lie behind the action. And then you need to ask Johnny, Johnny, why did you strike your brother? What was in your heart when you hit him? Johnny, you were angry at your brother. And you wanted to hurt your brother. And you wanted to do harm to your own brother. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 3 that before salvation we grow up hateful and hating one another. And the Bible teaches us that even brothers can hate one another. Cain so hated Abel that he put him to death in the field. And that's what was going on in Johnny's heart. There were the seeds of this terrible sin of hateful anger toward his brother, Tommy. The same thing takes place when we speak harsh words, when they speak angry words, when they speak disrespectfully to us as their parents, when they lie. We need to direct them back to their hearts and show them that all of it comes from their hearts. Their hearts are deceitful, and out of a deceitful heart comes lies. when our children are fussy and they throw temper tantrums, we should ask them, why did you become so angry to throw that temper tantrum? Why are you so fussy and upset about every little thing? And we need to direct their thoughts inwardly, help them to see the connection between their hearts and their behavior. They fuss and they throw temper tantrums because they are selfish and they care only about themselves and no one else. What they want it, and they want it now. And if they don't get it now, they will make everyone around them miserable. They are self-centered, selfish sinners. And that's why they fuss and have temper tantrums. It all begins in the selfishness of their hearts. Our children were all made by God to be worshipers. They were made to worship. It's part of their nature to worship. God made them to worship Him. But sin tells them to worship themselves. And as self-centered children, they worship themselves. And they set up in their own hearts the idol of self. And self wants and self declares to the world all around them, I want. I want. I want, and everyone else should give me what I want, and if I don't get it, I fuss and I throw my temper tantrums. It's the sinful idol of self that is lying in their hearts, and they worship that false idol. It doesn't matter what the particular sin is. What matters is that we help them to see that their behavior finds its source and its origin from their hearts and the sin that is in their hearts. What we need to do is we need to take the mask off of their hearts. We need to take their hearts and take the cover off and let them look and see what's in the heart. You see, our children, when Tommy hits Johnny, Tommy thinks that the reason why he hit Johnny is because Johnny did something to him. That's true on the surface. Children think that they act sinfully because of the external things that are happening, the things that others are doing to them. But underneath it all is the sinfulness of their hearts. We need to take the cover off and unmask it and show them what is really in their hearts. We need to help them. We need to guide them into understanding what they really are. The goal of parenting is not to produce just outwardly well-behaved children. The goal of parenting as Christians is to bring our children as sinners to the only Savior in Jesus Christ. And they need to know that their sinful words, their bad behavior, it all comes from their hearts. And we need to help them see the connection between their behavior and the real problem that lies within. And they need to know what they really are, that they have bad hearts. We need to tell them it's from a bad heart within. It's from that dirty heart within. We need to tell them God sees the heart. God is concerned about what's taking place in your heart. And my son and my daughter, you have that bad heart. And the only one who can forgive you and the only one who can save you from that bad heart and give you a new heart is the God of heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that list of sins that we saw back in Matthew, Mark chapter 7. That list of sins, and we said that they all could be connected back to the law of God and the Ten Commandments. And then you also remember what we've seen recently in Romans chapter 2. where Paul says that those who do not have the law, meaning they have never seen the written law, they have the work of the law written in their hearts, in that their conscience bears witness and their thoughts alternately accuse or else defend them. And that's true of all who have never seen the written law. They still have conscience. It's true with regard to our children as well. They may have never read the written law of God, but they already have the law written in their hearts, and they have a conscience that accuses them when they do wrong. And so their conscience is your best friend as the parent. Their conscience is your best friend, your best tool in dealing with the issues of their hearts. You have a best friend already within them, their conscience. When you come to them, when they've done wrong, you already have something inside of them that you can already work it with. And that conscience is already on your side. And you need to direct your appeals and your questions to their conscience so that their conscience convicts them of their own sin. They see it for themselves. Their conscience bears witness against them. And when their conscience becomes convinced of their own sinfulness, then your correction and your discipline has hit the mark inside of them. And so by questioning them, by tracing their sins back to their hearts, they begin to recognize who they really are in God's eyes. They really are sinners. And they have a desperate need in their own souls to be saved. They have this bad, dirty heart. And when they begin to see that what's outside comes from within, and they begin to see that they can't change themselves, they are helpless sinners, then they begin to see the only one who can save them is Jesus Christ. And you direct them to Jesus, the only one who can give them a new heart. God said, Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart. And I will take out the heart of stone, and I will put in the heart of flesh. He's the only one who can give them a new heart. You see, if all we do is deal with the external, outward behavior, then we're teaching our children that this is something that they have the power and the strength in themselves to do. They can correct outward behavior. It's not a problem. The Pharisees learned how to do it well. We could raise Pharisees. When all you deal with is the external outward behavior, you're teaching your child that this is something that they can do in their own power or strength. But when we bring it back into their hearts, then they begin to see that this is much deeper, that they are helpless, and they can never change their hearts, and they need a Savior in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have unbiblical goals as parents. We want our children to obey us. We want them to be well behaved because it makes our life a little easier. They're less trouble for us, and we're not so inconvenienced by them. That's an unbiblical and a self-centered goal on our parts. Sometimes parents want their children to be well behaved, simply so that they don't get embarrassed by them in public. You go out into a public place, or you come to church with your children, and your children put up a fuss and create trouble, and you're out, you can't control the situation, it becomes embarrassing to you as a parent. Sometimes parents just want to deal with things, and they become kind of control tyrants over their children just so that they're not embarrassed by them. Other parents, they want their children to be molded into something that they want them to be. They want them to be superstar athletes. They want them to be great scholars with the highest grades and the best education. All of these things are worldly and unbiblical goals as parents. The goal of parenting is to make the connection between their sinful hearts and the only Savior in Jesus Christ, and to bring them to Jesus for salvation. And all of this will not happen the first time you make the connection between their hearts and their behavior. It will not happen the first year, most likely. It will happen only long by long perseverance. It is part of your long, lengthy, patient process of being parents to your children. It happens over the long haul. It is by repetition and repetition that it begins to sink into them that what they are in their words and their behavior, all of it comes from their sinful hearts. Now, all of this adds a new dimension to your parenting. You thought it was enough hard work to stop everything when they sin in the house, stop everything and discipline them with the rod, correct them, show them what they did wrong, spank them, reassure them of your love, evangelize them. You thought all of that was enough. That's enough hard work. But now you've got more if you're going to do the job completely. And this takes more effort, more thought, more time on our parts as parents, unless the real problem is addressed and changed. Then all we'll produce is right behavior on the outside, and they'll never come to know the deeper problem and the only Savior of sinners. We need to get deeper beyond the behavior to the root of the problem and unmask the sins of their hearts. Now, if you became sick or ill, you had some outward symptoms of some kind of a physical disease, and let's say you had perhaps a bad rash, or you had a cough, or you had a headache, and so those symptoms, those outward symptoms, were only symptoms of a much deeper, deadly disease. And so you go to the doctor, and you tell the doctor what the symptoms are, and the doctor says, well, I'll give you a little ointment for your rash. I'll give you a little cough syrup for your cough. And he doesn't go beyond the outward symptoms. And underneath it all, there's this deadly disease. It's eventually going to kill you. The doctor hasn't done his job. He's been superficial. And that's the way it is with parents. When we don't dig and address the deeper issues of the deadly disease of the sin in their hearts. We do not want to be superficial parents. We need to deal with the source of their sin, which is their hearts. We look back to the book of Proverbs for a few moments, the book of Proverbs, and we see that Solomon had this same idea as the Lord Jesus. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Solomon says to his son, he says, watch over your heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And so Solomon pictures the heart of his son as if it were a spring with water continually gushing out of it. All the springs of life, he says. All the issues of your life, my son, your words, your actions, your behavior, your morality, all of it flows out of your heart. He's speaking to his son back in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And then he says in verse 21, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You see, he's addressing his son's heart. If his son is going to walk in God's way, then he must have the commandments and the ways of God in his heart. Solomon is saying the same thing Jesus said in the Gospels. From within, out of the heart of men, come the issues of life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we see this throughout the book of Proverbs. We'll look at a couple verses very quickly. Solomon did not miss the issues of the hearts of his children back in chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "My son, if you will receive my commandments and treasure my, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you." You see, he's telling his son that the commandments of God are treasures. They ought to be treasures to his heart, and he ought to treasure them and place the highest value on them within. And then he says in verse 2, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart." Incline your heart, my son. Take your heart and humble it. Take your heart and make it willing to receive wisdom. Apply your heart to wisdom and understanding. We look at chapter 3, and we see how he continues throughout the book of Proverbs to deal with the heart. Chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Write these things on your heart. Chapter 4 and verse 4. "Then he taught me," my father Solomon is saying, "he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words and keep my commandments and live." And then over in chapter 7 and verse 3, Solomon says to his son, verse 1, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." So in all Solomon's dealings with his sons, and in his advice to them, the focus of his concern was always the heart. The heart was where the foolishness was bound up in the hearts of his sons. And if they were to be what God wanted them to be and live to the glory of God and not for themselves, Solomon knew their hearts needed to be changed, their hearts needed to be addressed. And Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, which has so much to say about the use of the rod, is not a book on externalism, but it's a book in which a father deals with the heart of his sons and his daughters. So Solomon directs us to the heart, and we could go to many other passages in the book of Proverbs. We'll look at one very briefly. One more passage, chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13 and 14. He says, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol." And here we have one of the strongest passages concerning the need and the use of the rod. But Solomon knew that the rod was not the only discipline, and he quickly follows it with concerns of the heart. Verse 15, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will also be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners." Do not let your heart have that sin of envy in you, but live in the fear of the Lord always. And then down in verse 23, he says, "Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and understanding and instruction and understanding." And then verse 25, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son. Let your eyes delight in my ways." And so back in verse 13 and 14, there we have the father. He is not neglectful. He is not shrinking back from the use of the rod as he should. He uses the rod, but then he follows it with the most tender and the most loving entreaties and appeals that are directed to the heart of his son. So Solomon was not soft on the rod, but he used the rod. But he used the rod and he knew it had limitations and it could not accomplish the full task. He had to deal with the issues of the heart of his sons. And so that's the goal of our parenting. Not just external behavior and external changes, but addressing the sinful nature, the sinfulness of their hearts, unmasking it to our children, showing them what they really are inside, and then directing them to the only hope of sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray tonight. And we thank you for your many mercies to us. We pray that you would give us help as parents. We pray, Lord Jesus, for the young parents who are among us, that you would teach them and help them to do your will with their children. And Lord, we cry to those who will be parents in the years to come. Give them grace and help as well. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would show to our children the sinfulness of their own hearts and what is truly within them. And Lord, we pray, direct them to Jesus Christ as the only one who can change them and make them new. May they truly be saved and come to know the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us wisdom and help in all of these matters. In Jesus' name, amen.